Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 98 of the IoT for All podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Chacon, and today's guest is the Senior Director of IoT Product Management at Keyfactor, Ellen Baim. She joins us to share her expert insights on the security landscape of 2021. Currently, she is the Senior Director of IoT Product Management at Keyfactor, a leading provider of secure digital identity management solutions. There, Ellen leads the product strategy and go-to-market approach for the Keyfactor Control Platform, focusing on digital identity security solutions for the IoT device manufacturer market. So I hope you find a lot of value in this episode. I know I did. I really enjoyed my conversation with Ellen. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode with Ellen Baim of Keyfactor. Welcome, Ellen, to the IoT for All show. Thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks. I'm really happy to have the conversation.
Yeah, it's great to have you. I'm definitely excited. I wanted to start off by just having you give a quick introduction to our audience, talk a little bit more about you, the role you have at the company, maybe background, experience, anything you think our audience would get value out of knowing and to get a better sense of who they're listening to.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. So I'm a senior director of products at Keyfactor, and I focus pretty specifically on IoT device security. So I have a background in connected devices from a product development standpoint. So I've worked in smart lighting and smart home, connected buildings and things like that. But for the past 2 years, I've been working here on kind of the other side of things, which is helping to secure devices like that. So Okay. That's kind of really what I do.
Great. Can you now elaborate a little bit on kind of how you, about not just your role, but also what Keyfactor does and what you all, you know, the role you all play in IoT and kind of how that all works together to provide value to the industry?
Yeah, definitely. So Keyfactor has been around for about 20 years, and we started as a consultant company for public key infrastructure, or PKI. And so we would go into enterprises and we would help them understand if they had created a PKI for certificates to secure things within their enterprise, you know, firewalls or computers and devices and things like that, you know, but it's kind of a mess and not really automated. That's what we did. Okay. And so we did that for a while, and then decided to kind of turn this into a business where we created a software platform to help give visibility into that. And so that's where I think most of our legacy product and experience has been. Mm-hmm. But in the past 5 years or so, we've started to see more and more IoT manufacturers. So OEMs of like medical devices, sure, or control systems, you know, people that are making like highly critical infrastructure like things that need to be secured, because you don't want to have, you know, a hacker being able to get into your connected pacemaker, sure, and change, you know, something that's happening inside your body that's super scary. Or, you know, same thing like with an airplane, you don't want someone intercepting, you know, air traffic controls and changing how the plane is going to fly, trains, you know. So we started to see more and more people thinking, how do we do authentication and security in IoT? And so we looked to, what do we do in the enterprise? Okay. And so that's why we kind of started to add on additional capabilities, knowing that we knew how to do this in the enterprise IT, but like, how do you take PKI and then leverage it over to devices? Right. And that's kind of how we started to get into the space.
Okay. Can you talk, can you explain to our audience, for those that may not be familiar with what PKI actually is and means?
Sure. Yeah. So public key infrastructure is, it's more of like a methodology and kind of a way to a set of policies and rules and recommendations around how to create certificates, okay, for endpoints. Okay. And a certificate is a unique digital identity for a thing. Okay. And so that then certificate is used to authenticate and prove identity. So we kind of talk about this with like likeness to a driver's license. Okay. Okay. So you go to your BMV or DMV to go say, you know, I am so-and-so, and you know, this is my height and weight, and you know, I've passed the test, I can get a license. So then when you go from New York to Colorado to, you know, that Colorado would then say, all right, well, you know, you've got a license. I know that that was issued from a known authority in New York. I'm going to trust that you are who you are. You can rent this car. Okay. So that's kind of what certificates and in PKI can be related to is that if you have a certificate that's issued from a trusted authority like New York, right, then I can allow you to then, you know, do certain things. So PKI is a kind of a way of doing that. And within IoT, if you create these certificates that have certain policies and practices around them that give unique identities to each of your devices that you're making, then you know that when a device then wants to talk to your cloud server to pull back data from that pacemaker or to pull back data from your control system or to pull back data from your connected, your factory equipment, that it really is your factory that's talking to you. And so you can modify it and make adjustments. That's really, really important. You have to be able to trust what that edge point is in order to then make an action on it.
Okay. And now how does PKI deployment for IoT device manufacturers differ from typical enterprise PKI, which I assume this is something that is not just, you know, solo to obviously IoT.
Yeah, definitely. So a couple things. When you're creating a PKI for enterprise, you're generally talking about devices that are within your network. Okay. They're always connected for the most part, or they're, you know, either they are within your control. Now, when you pivot over to IoT, you're generally a manufacturer, you're making things in, in production, and you're wanting to put your initial firmware on it to make it run. And you want to put on your key or certificate, but then that device is going out into the world and you have to be able to reach it, right? To send OTA like updates of firmware and fix bugs and make things better. And so that is where you have to be thinking about designing your PKI and designing in a way to update the certificate that's on the device when it's going to be installed in some power plant in a remote part of the world. So that's, I think, one of the biggest differences is just making sure that you have a PKI that works with your factory. And because some people use CMs, like contract manufacturers, and that's fine too. But, you know, if you're giving them, you know, the rights to produce your product to your design specs, and then if you're giving them capability to create a certificate and an identity on that, you want to make sure it's not counterfeit identity. It's not stolen identity that then they can use or sell it on the black market. So, and then start producing products that authenticate as you. So I think those are kind of some of the things that we talk about is you know, management in the field. And then obviously kind of production and how you get that going, you know, when you're actually making it.
So from your kind of experience working in more of the device security space, why do you feel like PKI has emerged as a top technology when it comes to securing IoT devices particularly? Mm-hmm.
So my perspective is that PKI is based around asymmetric certificates and asymmetric cryptography. So where you have a private key, which is unique, and we always recommend to generate that private key on the device, store it in hardware in a trusted platform module, a TPM, or a secure element, or, you know, some other place that you've kind of segmented in within your hardware to keep that. And then from that private key, you generate a mathematically related private key, or from that private key, you create the public key, which then can be shared. And so that is it's a really solid way to be able to do authentication and establish secure connections between things. And I know we've kind of evolved over time. We've in some cases used, you know, pre-shared keys where both parties that want to talk have the same key. And, you know, obviously if one gets compromised, then you can kind of impersonate. Mm-hmm. So there's reasons why we've sort of evolved and moved to using asymmetric crypto as a best practice. I think also we have evolved and improved our ability to make stronger and stronger, more random keys and have improved the algorithms so that it's harder to crack. And I think that's one thing that when we talk about updatability and like just kind of building in security into your devices that are lasting for 15 or 20 years, you have to assume that whatever crypto you're going to build in that thing today, when you're stamping it off the line, is not going to be as strong in 2 years or in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, because, you know, we talk about quantum computing coming and being able to, you know, more quickly sure. crack these algorithms, these mathematical algorithms. And then what do you do if everything that you now have sold and is living with your customers out there is able to be broken into because someone has a computer that's smart right, enough right. or fast enough. So I think those are some of the risks that we try to manage. But again, using the asymmetric crypto right now is the best way that we know to do it.
So what is the best approach for companies or individuals out there listening to this to kind of work on building secure IoT devices? In the process, or I guess following the process that you all follow, what is the best approach companies should take to as they're building these devices to make sure that they are secure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first thing I would say is make sure that you are signing your firmware. So okay. step one is code signing. I think many customers that we talk to are already doing that, which is great. And basically what that means is use a, you know, code signing certificate to validate that, you know, once you have your developers have created production code, you sign it with, you know, that signature so that then when it's delivered to the factory, you can validate that before you put it on devices. And then also when you send it on OTA, when a device receives a new firmware version, it checks the signature on that and then says, okay, yes, it matches, you know, what I have built into me. I will update this. And then we also see customers using that in combination of booting up and in sort of a secure boot way of doing things. So like, I don't want to turn on my control system until I've, you know, made sure that the signature matches. So that's kind of step one. I would say then step two is really just this is not something that you do overnight and all of a sudden you have this great big security, you know, strategy for your devices. It's something that takes several years to do right. So sure. don't feel like you're late to the game or if this is going to be like a quick fix. I think you got to take time to look back at the strategy of, well, you know, what do I want my overall products, security architecture to be, you know, what other partners or subsystem components are going to need to either be part of my IoT system or I need to be part of theirs. You know, we talk about like ECUs within vehicles. So you have vehicle manufacturers and then they have, you know, their suppliers that make the components. And so, you know, there's start to think about how you want to be able to secure your connections between those other devices that your devices need to talk to. And then I think once you kind of map that out, you can start to think about how you want to use PKI to help you do that and how you want to use certificates to basically create those secure connections.
Okay, that makes sense. Now I want to kind of take a step back and go a little bit higher level on device security for a second. And I wanted to just get your vantage point on the overall kind of IoT device security landscape and the biggest challenges you've seen IoT devices have when it comes to security, or in the same breath, biggest challenges companies come across when trying to build secure IoT devices.
I think there's a couple things that we hear when we talk to people, and some things revolve around hard coding.
Okay.
So let's not hard code credentials, you know, and keys in devices. And I even remember reading an article a couple years ago about I think it was a router manufacturer, and they accidentally published a key in their firmware download that you could get right from their website. So just try not to hard code things. That's number one. Okay. And try to do what we talked about, using unique keys that are asymmetric, use asymmetric cryptography. I think that's just always more, I mean, you have a chance to be more random, you have a chance to be more unique. And then the kind of the asymmetric match of public and private key is always much stronger. And then just try to, you know, within your device, you're going to have a certain processing power and capability that you have to work within, right? And so you might have a battery constrained device and things like that. You can only run, you know, so much hardware in there, but just try to understand from your hardware vendor, you know, what capability do you have around encryption? You know, what kind of algorithms can they run? Can they create a key on there for you that then you can use for your certificate request? So those are kind of some of the things that you should do is take a look at what you currently can work within your hardware and start to leverage that.
Okay, great. So one thing I wanted to ask you, it's not directly related to the security piece per se. It's more, I'm curious to learn how kind of the compliance landscape and regulations that we mm-hmm. talk about a lot in IoT relate to the security side, and just kind of how can IoT manufacturers address those, current and future regulatory compliance issues or topics that come up, and kind of just what your overall approach or advice is there?
Yeah, that's a good one. That comes up in almost every industry. So medical devices, they have the FDA, and the FDA has guidance around cybersecurity within products. And that's great. I wouldn't say it's so much a standard, but it's guidance because there isn't a strict rule that they would follow, but it definitely talks about using unique credentials and having a way to update certificates and things like that. So I think industry by industry, they are taking an approach of, we want to try to help give you some rules around how to do this, but they don't tell you exactly specifically how. We've also seen it in the industrial and power industries. So some IEC standards, IEC 62443, kind of recommending similarly to the FDA. In automotive space, there's also talk around using certificate-based authentication within vehicles, also vehicle-to-vehicle, autonomous car type things, and EV charging stations. Because, you know, as you have multi-vendors that are trying to then talk to, you know, over there, there's got to be a common platform, you know, if you're going to be able to plug a car in. So, like, there's using, I think, standard practices and ways of talking, I guess, when it comes to device security protocols is important. And we've found that an industry approach being taken to help the manufacturers. And I've seen a lot of collaboration too. So even, you know, when there's OEMs that you would think were normally competitors that, you know, oh, I don't want to help them. But when you see this bigger picture of, you know, interoperability and stuff like that, you kind of have to come together and say, all right, how are we all going to follow a common set of rules so that we can develop our things and still be able to, you know, work together.
Sure. Absolutely. I wanted to get a sense of your thoughts. So if we kind of look at how 2020 evolved on the IoT device security side, how security has been a very important topic, you know, we've gone through COVID. How do you see kind of IoT changing just in the general approach companies are taking to the adoption of IoT because of what happened in COVID and as we're coming out of it going into 2021, do you have any predictions or kind of thoughts on what we're going to see towards, you know, through the end of this year into next year on the IoT, just general industry side, as well as maybe hyper-focused on the device security side? And, you know, if you see anything kind of changing in that timeframe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been a bizarre year for sure. I'm sure everybody you've talked to recently has their own perspective on it. And I think what we saw was an immediate, obviously, shift to as many virtual things as possible, whether that's, you know, virtual office visits to your doctor so that you can continue your level of care. Obviously, for professionals, virtual working, virtual teaching, and so all of those things require access to your, you know, maybe a server that's kind of running your, you know, how you do your business or how you would run your clinic, and doing it from a remote way. So I think authentication of users has become super important just across the board as people are having to be able to have these conversations mm-hmm. about, yeah, this is how I'm feeling today, you know, with my health, and then having the doctor, you know, that's PII, right? It's now all, it's not face to face anymore. So super, super important that we're doing that from a security perspective. And then I think from IoT, even if we try to think of examples like, you know, your office or your factory monitoring how, you know, the usage of it, maybe if less people are going to an office, you have to have more facilities insights as to, you know, lighting and HVAC and all of that. So all of that is where, you know, IoT can help a business run efficiently when you have maybe less people around or you know, fluctuation in when people are arriving and leaving for the day doing their things. There's a lot of, I think, efficiencies that can occur when you're saving energy by optimizing that using IoT insights. And the same thing on the factory is if you're monitoring your equipment and how your machines are running and your business perhaps, or your production has been impacted by, you know, the COVID, whether it's positively or negatively, it's just, how are those things running? And do you need to fix, you know, do some preventative maintenance on any of those pieces of equipment to keep your business running? So those are kind of the themes that we see and that we hear when we talk to our customers over this past year, which I think has really pivoted us all to say, you know, the world is going to be different, especially after we've kind of all lived and are still living through this globally. You know, it's just, we kind of have to be able to use technology to our benefit in a different way. But security is paramount to all of that, because if you don't trust the data that's coming from a thing, you're not going to make the best decision about what to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. As a lot of solutions are moving closer to, or more, putting more of a focus and emphasis on the edge computing side of things, and machine learning is getting implemented, we know AI plays a big role in IoT. How do you kind of see the relationship between the device security side of things in IoT and how machine learning and then moving to the edge, it affects the security piece, or will play a role in kind of the evolution of the security piece?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as we have more capability to do things at the edge and make more real-time decisions about how, let's say, a medical device would work or a piece of equipment would work, the trust, you know, making sure that device has not been tampered with is really, really critical. And so if somebody has the ability to connect to your device and to change it to upload firmware that it was not your firmware, and, you know, then it starts running some malware underneath it and can get into your network or your customer's network, that is, I think that's the one thing we have to kind of think about. So yeah, I think taking advantage of being able to run more stuff at the edge obviously has benefits, but it's, again, make sure that that's a trusted device and that it hasn't been compromised before you're trying to do any kind of actions on it.
Gotcha. Okay, great. As we wrap up here, I just wanted to get kind of a final piece of advice from you and your vantage point for anyone out there looking to, you know, take on that discussion about device security, the importance of it, how to think about it, how to approach it. I know we kind of touched on a lot of these pieces already, but just kind of in summary, what advice would you have for those out there, you know, who understand device security is important, but maybe don't know the first thing about going about how to, either choose the right device based on security that's needed for their solution, or build security into their solution that they're putting out there. Just the overall importance and an approach you would provide them from an advice standpoint on how to do that to avoid the most issues possible.
There's a lot that we can learn from how we've done security in the enterprise. And that's where I think when we talk about trying to use certificates for authentication and using PKI as a backbone behind that, that it's, you can kind of feel good in that, like, this is not a brand new technology that you're just going to start putting into your devices. So that's one thing. I would say do some research around certificate-based authentication and why that's good. I think there's also highly regarded analyst firms that have done comparisons of vendors in PKI and IoT space, that they kind of do some pros and cons about different solutions, including things like, do you need it to run on your premises in your factory, or can you do something in the cloud? So, you know, there's things like that you should also be thinking about, is how do you see your business operating for the long term? Because again, this is not just an immediate, right, put a certificate on your device and then you're all good. It's like a Band-Aid. It's, you know, how do I be able to take that Band-Aid off and put on a new one when this one gets old, and do that over and over again? So that's kind of some advice that I would have here.
Okay, fantastic. Well, look, I really appreciate your time. I think this conversation has been great. It's a topic that, you know, we do talk about security here, but we haven't really gotten to the nitty-gritty details that I think you really shed a lot of good light on here today. I wanted to wrap up by just asking if there's anything new and exciting going on over at Keyfactor that our audience should be on the lookout for. And at the same time, if, you know, after listening to this, if they have questions or follow-up, or, you know, kind of wanting to talk further about these topics, what's the best way to go about reaching out?
Yeah, definitely. So you can just go to keyfactor.com. I think our marketing team has done an awesome job of creating a ton of content, videos, how-tos. This is what we do. We recently just wrapped up a virtual summit, because, you know, everything's virtual these days. And so a bunch of different speakers on topics ranging from enterprise to IoT, and some fun stuff there that if you have, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, just go ahead and check that out. And you can learn a lot about PKI and kind of what we do.
Sounds good. Well, it has been fantastic, Ellen. Thank you so much for your time, and I look forward to getting this out to our audience.
All right. Thank you so much, Ryan. It was great to chat.
You too. All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening to that episode of the IoT for All podcast. Hope you found a lot of value in it. If you did, we would truly appreciate it if you would leave a rating or review on whichever platform you're listening to us on. Also, feel free to subscribe to our podcast directly if you haven't already done so, or our newsletter or our social media to get the latest episodes as soon as they become available. But other than that, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.